Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, it's Ask Me Anything Monday. Share this with your friends. Text it with your friends. Make sure you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Just take your friend's phone. Say, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to type in the Charlie Kirk Show and hit subscribe. He's going to be happy and optimistic and forward-thinking and factual and rational. That helps out our show. Every new subscription is a gift to us, truly. And our mission is really simple. We believe our country's in the wrong trajectory. We want to change the trajectory by reaching young people with the truth, all people with the truth, with two podcasts a day, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, giving 300 speeches a year. We do radio, we do podcasting, but you know what? We are never going to give in. And if you guys feel moved by that, and this podcast has impacted your life in any way, and you say, you know what, Charlie, I hear you. I want to help you. It's charliekirk.com/support. I am moved and I am blessed by all of you that get behind us and do that at charliekirk.com/support. And as always, Turning Point USA, maybe you want to go to our Young Women's Leadership Summit, tpusa.com/YWLS. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. And HR manager salaries are never cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you could change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend more time in HR compliance? Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Kirk, spelled BAM to the BEE.com/Kirk. Don't let an unexpected HR issue destroy your business. So again, go to Bambi.com/Kirk, Bambi.com/Kirk.
Hi, Charlie. I'm Victoria. I'm the president of our USD chapter.
Awesome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. So my question is kind of just like, how do I deal with this? I just wrote a paper the other day about in my African history class for a core curriculum requirement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my teacher is very liberal. And we're talking about the apartheid, and he asked us to relate it to some kind of either American or modern day event. So I wrote, not wanting to give him what he wanted about, you know, the KKK or whatever. So I wrote about Antifa and the KKK.
Good for you. That's courage.
I got an 80% on the paper, and he wrote back to me, Victoria, Antifa is not a singular group, nor do they advocate in a way at all analogous to the KKK. And we've talked specifically in class about historical constructions of whiteness and oppression, and this reflection demonstrates very little recognition of how that power operates.
Yeah.
So usually I'm not afraid to respond to this, but he said in the past he worked at a high school where the Turning Point chapter at that school would call him indoctrinating. And he's made it very clear that he is against Turning Point. And I'm just trying to pass this core curriculum class, so what do I say?
You are in a situation that is not rare. And look, here's the problem, is that college becomes this kind of grade-taking hostage situation, right? And all of you guys experience this, is we're going to take what matters to you, your grade, we're going to take it hostage, and you're going to conform and say what we want you to say and do what we want you to do, and if not, we are going to make you suffer. There's no good way out of it. You're handling it very well. The fact you got an 80 is pretty amazing, I have to say. That's actually pretty amazing.
I feel like I could have gotten 100. I definitely feel like I could have gotten 100.
Yeah, well, look, so I'll say this, that appealing to their overseeing board sometimes works. It usually doesn't because they all agree, right? But look,
I'm going to have you think and pray about something. Is like, does the grade matter that much? Just think and pray on it. Maybe it does. Maybe it's like, I need the grade to get this and do that and all that. And if you're paying for a course, you should want to do the best in it, obviously. But if you are producing a good product and writing something worthy of that grade, and they don't see that as recognition, then that's much more on them and their direction and their character and an imprint on their future decisions than anything else. And just to the whole point of this, let me just tell you, I was supposed to speak in Washington, Seattle, Washington, this next weekend at a church. And a really good man, Pastor Roger Archer, a sweet man, I think got sideswiped. Let's just say he got ambushed. I think that's a good way to put it, right? He got ambushed. Not physically, well, almost physically, but he got a call from law enforcement and said, hey, you're hosting Charlie this next weekend. 1,200 Antifa people are planning to come outside of your church, and they're the ones that form Chaz and Chop, and you know, if you don't cancel the event, because we don't have enough people to counter it, they'll probably burn down homes in your neighborhood, residential area, you know, the elderly's at risk and women's at risk. And so I would have handled it a little bit differently, but I make no such judgments against Pastor Archer because he's a good man. And I think he got put in a situation that, quite honestly, is a political combat he's not used to, right? So he decided to cancel the event. And again, I have a lot of empathy for him. I think he's the victim in this situation. I really do. And why did he cancel it? Well, he called the governor's office. They said, we're not going to supply any sort of law enforcement to help against this. The local police only had 10 people. And so, look, this is a tactic that the KKK used to use against black meetings in the American South. So you should have got 100 on that piece, and I think you're very, very smart for mentioning that. Because what I could tell you is that I will not be speaking at that church this weekend in Seattle, only because a bunch of people threatened to go to the streets with weapons and cause violence. It's the only reason. And it's going to spread to more churches. This is a church. This is not the Republican Party of Seattle. This is a church, and the government did not want to intercede with it. But more, I know that your question was about what do I do about it. Do not give him a reason ever to dock you on anything that you do outside of the best possible course of action. Let me tell you what I mean. Don't give him what he wants you to do. Don't all of a sudden call him a name. Don't give a side remark or be snarky. In fact, live out the most respectable, gentle, compassionate person, where if he decides to continue to be torturous to you, which is what he's doing, then it's completely on him and there's no such moral justification he could possibly reach. And sometimes I find with some kids is, and I say this to some of our Turning Point kids, don't be snarky, because, you know, look, there's these professors definitely deserve it. But then all of a sudden they're going to use that as an extra reason again, like this, he's always giving me attitude, he's all this. I'm not, obviously you don't strike me as that, right? But understand this, that what you're dealing with is not alone. And then you just have to write on your piece of paper a value hierarchy, okay? And only you can do this. What matters most in your life? And if career progression and getting good grades matters more than continuing to say what you believe, then do that, okay? And for some people, that's what they do. There's a whole belief out there that you should cheat your way through college to get good grades. I do not hold that belief. There's another belief to go through college and to just write the liberal pablum because then you move up in life. I do not have that belief. But that's for you to decide. But I'm going to tell you this, no matter what, you will be blessed by making decisions that are a reflection of good character. Character comes from the Greek word. Character comes from the Greek word imprint, tattoo, into your soul. And your soul, your spirit is a reflection of the decisions you make when it matters most. Not the decisions of, you know, hot dog versus hamburgers. No, your soul ends up being, your character ends up being a reflection of what happens when you're under pressure. So pray and think on that. Thank you.
All right, Charlie, over here with Marcos, a question about the Second Amendment.
Hey, Charlie. So I'm hopeful we're going to win the culture war. I'm with you just because I know the great minds in Turning Point, all these great activists are awesome. So I have hope just like you do. But recently we have problems with our law enforcement. Now I'm a veteran. I was military police. So
thank
I back
you
the
for
blue,
your service,
right?
By the way.
I'm with them 100%. However, we have police officers now enforcing these mask mandates. They're in Texas, for example, they're coming out and talking against constitutional concealed carry. So how do you think that's going to play out where we have the good law enforcement and then we have these you know, yes men, as they say, who are going to try to strip away that Second Amendment right because it's already coming. And we're not going to be able, as my old CSM used to say, finish the fight if we have to.
So let me first say, they're not going to go for guns immediately, okay? They're going to do three things before they actually go for weapons. Number one, they're going to make it illegal to use your weapon. So this is what happened with the McCloskeys in Missouri, right? So a couple hundred people come to their home. They just gesture a weapon without firing it, and they get charged with just merely gesturing their weapon. Number two, they're going to make it almost impossible to buy ammunition, okay? So if they can't go after the guns, they'll go after ammunition. So you got to think a little bit more multidimensional of what their actual goal is. Number three, they're going to tax owning firearms at such a high tax beyond its appraised value that that's how they're going to tax it like a yacht or a private jet. So those are the three things they're going to do. Here's why. It's because of the D.C. versus Heller decision in the D.C. Circuit Court. They're going to struggle constitutionally in any of these laws to say that you do not have a constitutional right to own a firearm. And they lose in court almost every single time with this. There's a new decision that's about, actually a new hearing, I should say, new case that just went to the Supreme Court today, where this Supreme Court is going to rule on whether or not you have a constitutional right to have a gun outside of your home. And wow. I think they're going to rule correctly on this, which will have big implications here in California for potential concealed carry and all this. So one of the good movements over the last couple decades has been that firearm laws have moved in the direction of liberty. And let me just say this, that the founding fathers gave us a Second Amendment for a very specific reason. It is not for self-defense against criminals. That's helpful. It's not for hunting, and it's not for clay shooting. Instead, the founding fathers knew that it is the pattern of despots and tyrants and sociopathic human beings to use power to suppress freedoms of others. It always replicates itself. So the founding fathers said, what can we put in this document to recognize a natural right given by God, not by government, that can protect all the other amendments? What can we have as a firewall against this tyranny? What can we put here so that people that love liberty at least have some capacity, if needed, God forbid, to protect themselves and their family against a usurpatious government? So let me give you an example of this. When the Chinese Communist Party was doing what they were doing against Hong Kong a year and a half ago, the power imbalance was so unbelievably stark. The people of Hong Kong were on the right side of the issue. They wanted freedom, they wanted liberty, they wanted autonomy, they wanted sovereignty. But only one side had the guns.
Right.
That is not a way to ever pursue liberty. Eventually, the person that has the guns is going to win that. Now, I will submit to you, actually, an armed citizenry prevents conflict. Because if the Hong Kong freedom fighters came with AR-15 strapped around their back, the Chinese Communist Party said, let's talk. That's what they would have said. Instead of that, you go obey us. The founding fathers knew this. And so I share your concern, but I think we must be very clear why we have a Second Amendment and what it's actually there for. And I'm happy to go through any of the numbers or statistics because it's a completely misrepresented issue. Let me just say statistically when it comes to this, how we deal with firearms in this nation. But understand they're going after your weapons for a reason.
Yeah.
They're going after your weapons through ammunition and through registration and these other things. Because they know you're going to be easier to control if you do not have a capacity to defend yourself if a tyrannical or despotic government ever comes after you. So I share your concern. Thank you very much.
So are you making full use of your savings? Think of the times you've yearned for better returns. After real inflation, charges, and taxes, are you even making a profit? With food, clothing, and rent all more than doubling over the last 10 years, you need to do something different. Gambling on Robinhood or stocks might lose you the lot. And like thousands of others, you want to retire stress-free. A precious metals IRA with Noble Gold could be the answer. And this month, Noble Gold is gifting a genuine, rare, Carson City minted Morgan Silver Dollar with every qualifying IRA or 401k. These coins were around in a time when an ounce of silver was worth a dollar. For example, in 1893, a mint condition coin is now worth more than $3,250, a staggering increase of 3,250%. That's a return of over 2,500% a year. This is the power of long-term precious metals investing. So get in touch with the experts at Noble Gold and talk through your options today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com or call 877-646-5347 and mention the Charlie Kirk Show special offer, NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Good evening, Charlie. My name is Angel. I'm actually the chapter president for Turning Point
at
UCR.
Awesome.
I'm a first gen immigrant and I'm waiting for my interview this coming week. So I'm actually really excited. So I hope if any one of you guys can keep me in prayers. And I think one thing that is really special to me is the idea of morality. And you mentioned that a lot tonight. And I wanted to ask you, how can we as conservatives keep each other in check? Because I see us struggling as well. What can we do to make sure that we're fighting for freedom with united and we're actually doing it effectively? What are your thoughts about that?
First of all, you're a great person and we need more people like you in our country.
Thank you.
Jose, you actually love the nation. And that's a deep question. John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And so, it's a different speech that I give to mostly younger audiences, is the most important fight that you're ever going to embark on is not against the left. It's against your own desire and your own will. That we used to raise children in America in the 1970s, and we said, America's awesome, and you're the problem, and you need a lot of work. Now we say, you're awesome, and America's the problem, and needs a lot of work. We have a generation that taught young people self-esteem, not self-control. So what I encourage younger audiences to do, and you say, how do we keep each other in check, is you must know what the proper course of action is for not just a young person, but for all people. And what if I told you that a restraint keeps you free? Let me say that again. What if I told you what you don't do actually keeps you free? It's the opposite of what every single person in secular culture will tell you. It's the opposite of what Cardi B will tell you. It's true. What if I told you that our nation was founded on this idea, it's in the Harvard Law School in the stairwell, the law is the wise restraints that keep you free. So let's just start with the original listicle, the Ten Commandments. Pretty easy. Five of how we deal with each other, five how we deal with our Creator. One that contains a promise, the only one that contains a promise, which is honor your mother and father so that you may live long in the land of which you are in. This is why totalitarians always try to break the bond between parents and children. That's why you got the term Mother Russia. That's why Mao Zedong put in the Red Guard. It's why in 84 in Orwell, he said very clearly, parents feared their children, where their children are reporting their parents. You start with those 10. Those 10 is a good starting point. But here's something that I encourage all young conservatives to do, which is hold each other accountable as well. That's a hard thing to do because when you're young, there's a temptation and an impulse to want to introduce the next forbidden thing, to want to be known as the person that's always pushing the boundaries. That's normal. What if I told you your normal nature is actually not what's going to keep you free, happy, content, or prosperous? In fact, the Ten Commandments, all of them, and they're just the normal laws that we've built the West around because that's the root of it, is that they're not given to you so that it's the fun police. They're actually given to you so that you might live more peaceable and quiet lives. And so here's really what we're at right now. We're in a theological debate in our country, and it might be different than you might think. It's not Calvinist versus Arminius. It's none of that stuff, okay? Instead, it's very simple. We believe two things, amongst other things. We believe there is a God, and you are not him. So, as soon as you recognize those two things, it's earth-shattering. You mean my will is not everything? Yeah, we get that you read a chapter of Nietzsche. You're not the most important person in the world, okay? I'm the Ubermensch. You're nothing, okay? God is dead. No, he's alive, okay? We're nothing more than a bunch of cells and passions and desires. Well, if that's true, why is it that everywhere across the planet people stop when they see a sunset? Why does some music sound better than others? Why is it that some poetry just pops and resonates with our spirit? Why is it that the Tokyo Philharmonic plays Johann Sebastian Bach? Maybe it's because that music, that scenery. There's an order. There's a good. Some art is better than others. There's a proper way of conducting yourself. And typically, the more difficult thing is the good thing and the right thing. America will either be fall or will succeed or thrive based on this. Are we going to pursue virtue or pleasure? Pleasure is easy. It's harder to restrain yourself from that. And by the way, for young people, it is more ubiquitous, more widespread than ever. From one more joint hit, one more night out, just open up the laptop and you'll feel better. Look, none of us are above anyone. There's no moralizing from me on this. We're all sinners. But if you want to all of a sudden not just have your politics be the most important thing, instead, if you make your proper course of decisions and who you are and how you act, that's actually the sort of things that you should all be thinking about and focusing on. And you guys need to hold each other accountable on that, where you're honest with each other. And that's why you need to find a good church, and you need to be pursuing truth in all things. And by the way, once you start drinking from the streams of liberty, you're going to want to find its source. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize that there is a good out there. There's a purpose to all this. The biggest lie that you are taught by secular culture every day is that there is no purpose to your action, your being, or anything you do. I'll submit to you, everything you do actually matters. And that's one of the most releasing things you could possibly believe in. So I want to compliment you, and good luck. You're going to do very well on your interview, and God bless you for being involved with Turning Point USA.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, here with Fatima, and she has an amazing question around something we're all facing, vaccines.
Oh, geez. Yep. Oh. Go ahead.
First off, I want to say thank you so much. I am a completely different person if I compare myself to the person I was a year ago. To your knowledge and to your videos, and it was thanks to that I joined a chapter in Cal State Fullerton. So
amazing.
So my question is, I received an email, as well as many other students across the state of California, where CSU and UCs are joining together to support required COVID vaccination. upon the approval of the FDA, just so that we can have class in person in the fall. So my question is, I'm not going to stand here, you know, and just say, you know, just crossing my hands like, okay, what do I need to do? What do we need to do as students and young adults?
So let me tell you my own personal perspective. And I'm not saying this as a judgment or any against anyone that made a decision. I am personally not going to get the vaccine at all. And I say this as I do not judge or criticize or accuse other people. Everyone should make their own decision, filled with knowledge, and pray for wisdom, okay? I am not going to do all of a sudden the thing where you go on TV and say what's the best for anyone. But I'm going to go a step further, that outside of the choice of it, the mandating of young people to get this vaccine is immoral and it's dangerous. And so, long past the time of my body, my choice. And look, what school do you go to?
Cal State Fullerton.
Look, if you guys are looking for a rallying call, if you're looking for something to do, whatever these people meet, wherever they make their decisions for public comment, you need to show up in massive numbers and say, look, we're not going to judge if other people did it, but you are not going to force my child to get the vaccine. That is not going to happen. And so you're in a very difficult position. And so I'll tell you what I would do. This would be a deal breaker for me. Just so you know, you can make whatever decision. I would drop out of school over this. Just so we're clear. I'm not saying that's the right move for you. Please listen to me carefully. I'm very careful to give individual advice because I don't know all the complexities and how hard you work to get into that. That's where a close-knit group of people steeped in wisdom should give you that advice. But for me, that's what I would do. But for those of you that are in a position to be the guardians of a society, I'm talking about the adults, please come and defend these young children that are now being put in the crosshairs. This is the time that we got to stand up for these kids. And so, again, I don't, there's a lot of other people that have written extensively about that topic. I look at this as a massive overreach. I don't trust their motivations as is, but they're zealots when it comes to this. It is with religious fervor. And I'll tell you right now, this is a no-go zone. We have to draw the line. I'm encouraged by your comments on it and your head in the right place. And I hope someone in this audience who might be involved on a local level can come to you and counsel you and help you with that, because I know there's a lot of people working in that space right now. But I want to commend you and encourage you. You are not alone. A lot of people are also fighting this. So thank you.
Hi, Charlie. My name is Luke Chavez, and I'm also a chapter president at Pacifica High
School. Awesome.
So you obviously talk a lot about being bold and how it takes courage to be an outspoken conservative. So my question is, how do we create more courageous people, especially in high school, for those students who feel afraid to have an opinion because of opposition on campus?
So what high school do you go to?
Pacifica High School.
Pacific. How far is that?
It's in Garden Grove.
Okay, which is?
Orange County.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know California geography. So can I give you guys a little bit of tough but honest love here? Man, the number one thing that frustrates me is when I see young kids that are not getting the air support they need from the older generation. The one thing I told you about Avery in Minnesota, and I could go, I have dozens of examples in the last 6 months of this. What's amazing is that no adult stood up and defended the 16-year-old that was falsely maligned or accused of writing this, those text messages. I was in Dallas recently, and the whole meeting was about local engagement and involvement. And a kid steps up to the microphone and he says, I've been running the Turning Point group at the local high school, and I've been called this and called that and all this and all that. And the parents in the room were stunned, and he's like, yeah, I've reached out for help, and there's almost none to be given. So some of you are saying, what can I do? What can I do? Man, go find the local Turning Point group. Go find the local Young Conservative. Host them over for dinner. Tell them they're not alone. Encourage them. Build them up. Fill them up. Because if you think you're facing a lot because your neighbor's going to call you a name, imagine going to a high school every day. What have you been called?
Racist, xenophobic, misogynistic, even though my board is all women.
Yeah. So, and have you lost friends because of this?
Yeah, of course. I'm not really sad about that, though.
Yeah. See? Liberating. And so, look, here's what I'm going to tell you, though. And this is might not need what you need to hear. In your moral bank account, you are getting deposited every single day more than you could ever imagine. So you might not feel that way. But you are getting ACH transfers every day, creating you to be a better human being. Where all your other friends, they're just bankrupting themselves. Because they're always going to be angry around the next thing. They're always going to be accusing. But you stand fast and you stand firm and you're clear and you don't get angry and you don't retaliate. And you know why you believe what you believe. When you're 24, 26, 30, you're going to own the world. And that's where I tell these young kids is you're going to go through it. But it's going to strengthen the muscle memory and the muscle mass of your character. And that's what we should do to our young kids anyway, right? We should put them in high pressure situations and we should defend them against the baseless and senseless attacks. But also it's like, you know what? You are all going to be tougher because of this. And you want to talk about the kids that are not going to be able to, you know, to endure the inevitable suffering or the difficulty of life. It's those kids that are the ones that are throwing all those sorts of insults and backlashes for you. And so, but also know this, which is the happiest people in the world, and I use that word, Aristotle talked about happiness a lot, and it's very simple. It's the freedom you have in never having to pretend you're somebody else or disguising your belief is better than any home, plane, job. It is the greatest gift that God gives his children is saying, every day, I don't have to put on a costume. I don't have to pretend I'm someone I'm not. I am who I am in private, and I am in public. And that's a gift that I wish for all people. And you have that gift. And you should be very thankful for that.
I know. So good.
Amazing. We're over here with Sunny. And she's got a question about something I'm very passionate about. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts.
Oh, boy, Samuel. Here we go.
So first of all, I want to say thank you for everything you've done, especially for helping young Americans fight for our freedom. My question is regarding around the mask issue. So I know that it's different in each state. I know that the mask mandate is kind of different. As far as I know, the only place where I've been able to go in California and not wear a mask and be free, truly free, is in this very church itself, which I'm very grateful for. I think it's really strange, especially as a woman, that the left wants to free the nipple, but we have to cover our mouth and our nose.
That is, that's so true.
So my question is, how, as truly free Americans, can we fight against the mask mandate? Because it's not just like, it's not just local stores. It's everywhere that we go, we are forced to wear it. So how do we go about that? How do we fight against that?
Such a great point. So, I'll tell you, this, without getting into the scientific studies, I encourage you guys to check them out. There's plenty of scientific studies that show it's actually having an adverse reaction. And look, I'm mask agnostic. If you really want to wear one and you think they work, whatever, fine. You have liberty to do that. You had liberty before that or after one. The mandates are what bother me. But I think that more than that, and I've talked about the mandates a lot, I think we should have a different conversation, which is, has anyone ever had even a 5-second conversation of what are the downsides to having people wear masks? Now, I'm not just talking about the health ones. I'm just saying, does it make us more decent to each other? Does it make us more likely to be able to love your neighbor? You see, 6 years ago, I was on a campus tour, 5 or 6 years ago, and I spoke out against the Muslim hijab. Because I said it was dehumanizing against women, and I said that it is totalitarian and medieval and backwards. Now, of course, the media had their go at it. Of course they did. It's the same sort of principle here. And so here's another really interesting question that I don't think people are asking. Does it make you more or less likely to think independently and creatively and not be part of a cog in a machine of some sort of larger plan? And that's an interesting question. I think we all kind of know the answer to that. The other question is, why is it with almost a religious zeal, to use that term again, that these people are then signaling towards you that you must wear one? If it works, then you're wearing one, and so I don't quite understand that. And if you've already had the virus, you have the antibodies, why do I have to continue to wear one? Yeah. And then allegedly the vaccine is going to work, and then you still have to wear one. Two. And so, how do you resist against that? Well, first of all, I have been underwhelmed at legal challenges. The fact that there has not been a robust HIPAA challenge saying that it very well might be a violation of my health privacy is really beyond me. And so that still needs to work its way through the courts. So here's how you break the mask mandate almost immediately. It's not easy. But I'm a big believer in civil disobedience. Now, let me be clear. You applaud, but there's a moral Christian way to do civil disobedience. It's the way Christ did civil disobedience. So there's rules. Number one, you must be very clear in the why of what you're doing. The purpose. Number two, you must be willing to accept the punishment. Completely and totally, no resisting, no evading, and you lean into the punishment. Okay? You say, that's me. Take me away. Whatever it is. And then number three, you are joyous and optimistic and cheerful when that punishment comes towards you. You're not a victim because you're the one that asked for it to come. So what does it look like? Well, I'll tell you this. If 1,100 people here, if you guys all decided to go into Walmart at once with no mask on, the mask mandate would end very quickly. Now,
let's do it.
I think we got a field trip, Jürgen, that you got planned here, so. Look. And it's,
It's the little things that matter with this. Look, I never wear one when I go in, and they absolutely demand it. I need that product. I put it in. The airline thing's hard, right? Because I fly so much, and I just have to do it. And then they changed the mask rule where I used to wear this, like, gaiter, and now it has to be, because, of course, epidemiologically, that's so much safer, right? No one can explain all of it. But look, here's the broader point, which is that, and here's just a question. I'm not saying the answer to it. Are they social conditioning an entire country to make you more willing to obey what they tell you? Where do they stop? These are questions that I think you're all smart enough to be able to answer. And if you allow the mask, what else are you going to allow them to do? And so this is not a little thing. And if you believe it works, go ahead. You could wear one for the rest of your life. But this is not a small thing. This is a question that is so significant to our humanity. Let me read this Aristotle quote again, because I think it's really important for emphasis towards the end. It'll keep all people as unknown to one another. This is what tyrants do. They keep people unknown to one another as possible, since familiarity breeds a greater degree of mutual trust. A nation cannot exist if you don't trust your neighbor. A nation does not exist if you can't even see your neighbor. And I'll say this, I said this earlier. When I see a three-year-old that thinks the normative way a human being exists in the world is masked up, sit down, obey, command and control. This is a beacon of freedom. But now it's time for this beacon of freedom to spread it throughout this community. Because I'm telling you right now, people are waiting for other people to stand up against this mask nonsense. They are waiting for it. And so, remember the rules. So, Jürgen, you might get arrested for not wearing the mask. Unlikely. But it's not a small thing. And they are getting repealed in a lot of states, but they're going to keep this going until people push back against it. So thank you so much. Next question.
Hi, my name is Lucas. And, you know, I actually like that you just said about how people are waiting for someone to stand up.
Yeah.
I feel like on a college campus, on a high school campus, in any big city, there are so many loud leftist people.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what you think would be a shot heard around the world for conservatives to also be just as loud and to not just silence themselves.
So it's a great question. And we talked about this recently. I'm going to start doing this. So we're getting married in 12 days. We're very excited about that. And then we're going on a honeymoon after. So right after the honeymoon, Jürgen, I'm going to need your help with this. Okay. Right after the honeymoon, I'm coming back and I'm going to do this spontaneous project where I'm going to appear at school board meetings across the country. And this woman talked the other day. I don't know if you all saw that video. You know, you could show up to your school board meeting. All of you. So maybe here at Awaken Church, maybe you say, hey, our small group, all 80 of us, 100 of us, or 10 of us, we are going to go to this school board meeting and we are going to do public comment and we are going to look our leaders in the eye and we are going to give public testimony on that. So the question is, what is that? What is the shot heard around the world? It only happens when there's more voices actually being elevated. There's more people stepping into those moments, challenging and confronting their leaders. All of you have a super weapon. And that's called your phone. Next time you come in contact with someone who's in charge of you, talk to them with a Christ-like attitude, 100% grace and 100% truth. And you ask questions like Christ did, and you film yourself talking to that person in charge of you. Here's the law of averages. There's 1,200 people in this room, rather enthusiastic bunch. One of you in the next week is going to come across someone in charge of you that has taken your freedoms away in the next year. What are you going to do? Not just stand up. You're going to approach them and you're going to film it and you're going to ask them the questions and you're going to be ready for that. In the next month, 100 of you will come in contact with them. In the next year, half this room will. And I'm talking everyone from Nancy Pelosi to your local mayor, anyone that infringed on your freedoms and liberties. And what they fear the most is a confrontation. And even more than that, they fear that confrontation being filmed. And it doesn't have to be perfect, but you have to have that 100% grace. You're not going to call them names. You're going to say, sir, I pay taxes in this local area. Why are our kids not in school? Sir, do you know that kids are actually committing suicide more than dying from the Chinese coronavirus? You're going to hold that phone in your hand. It might be trembling, but that's what courage is, right? And that's how you're going to change the world. And then as soon as you have that video, you're going to email it to me at freedom@charliekirk.com, and I will make sure a lot of people see that video. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of people. It's true. Because we got airtime we have to fill. And I would love to fill our 2 hours of radio every day with just normal people standing up against the tyrants. I would love that. And again, I'm not doing, people are going to say, you're doing the Maxine Waters thing. Let me reemphasize. Christ-like, 100% grace, 100% truth, with the iPhone in hand, calmly saying, why are you doing this to us? Can you answer for this? Because those people work for you. You don't work for them. That's the contract and the compact that we have in this country. And so to answer your question, what does that moment look like? It looks like people like in this room beginning to do that. And even beyond that, I believe we're close to that kind of moment. I really are. I really do. I believe that we're so close to this situation happening where decent people are going to say, that's it. I'm not going to take it anymore. So thank you so much for your question. I appreciate that. Next.
Amy. I'm here with Amy, and she has a question about something that you deal with often, actually.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Charlie. I work in tech, so I'm kind of here in secret.
Oh boy. I don't know if this is the best place for you to be in secret.
I enjoyed your Washington Post op-ed about the sort of tension between the publisher platform issue and then that conservatives would prefer not to regulate. And so I just wanted to make sure that you knew that the nerds in my community have really already built solutions that use decentralized technology and blockchain and that kind of thing to completely make censorship impossible, functionally, technically impossible, and to create a true public space on the internet, which is what we're lacking right now, which is why we have this issue that you're talking about, because all the spaces are private. So I was just wondering if you, at Turning Point, had considered using a tool like Open Index Protocol or something like that to make your information kind of more censorship resistant.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you talked about self-censorship. And I think that one of the things that would help us to overcome self-censorship is if we were able to really know that our voices would be heard and that this would be that kind of path.
Sure. I'd love to look into that technology. I think the present problem is that almost all the conversation is kind of fenced into 4 or 5 different companies right now, right? So it'd have to take a user change as well to gravitate towards these other companies, right?
Yeah.
So let me tell you, I wrote that op-ed a year and a half ago. I've become much more, let's say, committed to the issue. I used to say we shouldn't regulate these companies. Now I believe we should regulate and break up all these companies.
But the thing is, you can do it without regulation. You can fix the problem without regulation.
Yeah, but how would you fix it? I'm just curious, like if everyone's on Facebook and Instagram, how would you change their behavioral habits?
So what you would do is you would... There's one thing that you would do regulation-wise, you would say you would follow the case precedent of the 1956 consent decree that happened with AT&T. They would basically force them to open their indexes. And if their indexes are open.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's the thing, is that Google's index is a public good. You know, it's all the information on the internet. And if that was opened the way that they opened AT&T's patents with the 1956 consent decree, then there could be true competition because the decentralized systems could basically ingest all of that information and then it would be completely available and anybody could build an app on top of it.
So I hear you. I think there's also another problem though than just censorship. And that used to be like the focus of mine. I just think that generally these companies are too big and they're monopolistic in their behavior. And the censorship is a byproduct of their stance in the market, right? But I hear you. I'd love to learn more about that technology and all of that. I think here's the issue though. So if, let's say you have a couple, you call them nerds with that company. So here's the issue, is that they're going to be offered a deal to sell their company to Google for $300 million if the idea is good. And it's going to be a hard thing to say no, right? Because Google comes in, and I want to get a couple more questions, but if Google comes in with this massive purse and they say, we're going to have a ridiculous multiple on your company to take you off, you've seen it, right?
Sure. Yeah. Totally.
So really quick, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, totally. 100%. Two things is that the community of the decentralized web is just kind of against that in general, that idea. They're very idealistic themselves. You guys have allies there, just you don't realize it yet. And then the other part of it would just be that the technology can't be stopped. I don't know how, I can explain it technically, but not here, obviously.
Yeah,
but
like
it just can't be. And so it's just functionally different than anything we've seen before.
Sure. No, I'm interested in learning of that. My current focus is making the current oligarchs suffer for what they've done to our country. So thank you. All right, next question. We'll take a couple more. I know it's getting late, everybody. Yeah, a couple more.
Hello, Mr. Kirk. My name is Raul, representing TPUSA.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah. I had a question for you. First, I want to read a quote from Hillary Clinton from the 2020 Democratic National Convention. She says, if he, Donald Trump, had put his own interests and ego to the side, seeing the humanity of a child being ripped from her parents at the border, or a protester calling for justice, or a family being wiped out by a natural disaster, that would have been a good thing for America and for the world. I wish Donald Trump knew how to be a president. Boo, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Let me see. All right, well, I just wanted to say, with that being said, from an advocate point of view, can Hillary's lack of engagement reflect negatively, considering lack of engagement within the border crisis, condemning violence in the recent riots? Can that reflect negatively on her, considering she ran for office and promised to be,
representing? I don't think a lot of people are putting a lot of mind space behind Hillary Clinton right now. But, look, it's probably, I don't know if she'll ever run for anything again, but I could tell you that, I could tell you this. One of the greatest moral goods that Donald Trump ever did to our country is making sure she never became president. Let me tell you what. So. Unfortunately, she's not held accountable for any of the things that she does or says. None of them are, but I appreciate the spirit of the question. So thank you. Thanks, man. Okay, one or two more. Where's Sam? Okay.
Right here. Just mining the gold here in the audience. Go ahead and ask your question.
So I'm an artist, and it's one of the areas that conservatives are very lacking in,
Yes.
And, we see cartoon networks doing all saying stuff about systemic racism and stuff.
Yes.
And you see people talking about it, but you don't see people doing anything about it. You see there's a lot of wealthy conservatives and stuff like that that could invest into companies becoming conservative animation studios or publishers or things like that. And so it's what do you think? How do we infiltrate the arts again? Bring back Hollywood to our side.
I agree completely. Look, one of the biggest mistakes is that conservatives 30 years ago only cared about winning elections and publishing white papers and donating to their liberal colleges. When the left invested in Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network and Disney and Paramount and all these different mediums of cultural communication, and we're looking at this landscape and we control nothing. And so now it has to be a moment of building new things, new exciting stuff. Here's the biggest, if you want to know the biggest, if anyone out there is funny, the biggest we have a comedic deficit in our country right now. There is so much material out there. I mean, seriously, if anyone is even a little bit funny, just start a show. Seriously. I'm not kidding. But you know why no one's funny? And this is then we'll do one more. Comedy is truth. You laugh because something is true. Right? God has a good sense of humor too sometimes. And you laugh when it's like, oh my goodness, that makes sense to me. Well, no one's saying anything true anymore, so no one's laughing. And also, the left cannot stand mockery. They cannot, against themselves. You never make fun of the party. You never make fun of the person in charge. Comedy is a way that you can, if there's a reason why Stalin and Mao, they all locked up the comedians almost instantaneously. And so if anyone has any ideas of how to be funny, please start your own channel. We need more content, whatever it is. There's not enough happening. Everyone's so serious all the time. We are dealing with people that are literally getting rid of Dr. Seuss and saying that math is racist and that men are women and women are men. There's so much material here that, it's like, I've never, it is the greatest opening that I, and I'll say this, that I have a whole idea for a show called Corporate. It's like a new office, but it's like kind of like dealing with all of this stuff where, anyway, it's just, yeah, but it could, thank you, you think about, no one's actually making any shows or any comedy over the woke industrial complex. It is the easiest thing ever to make fun of. And I'm telling you, you want to communicate with the most amount of people, you make them laugh. It is, it extends your life. It puts you in a better mood. It makes you think. And this other thing, last thing I'll say, the funniest people are also brilliant. Never discount that. It's really hard to be continually funny and not wise and not smart. So I know that you're talking about animation studios, but I hope that there's a change in kind of the mindset of people say, I want to invest in things that matter and creative. We do a lot of that at Turning Point USA. You guys know Benny Johnson. He's a very funny guy. And so we do a lot of that. Okay, last question.
Okay, hi, my name is Adam Maynard, and I'm in sixth grade.
Wow!
Yeah. And at my school, there's like this liberal teacher that's just very annoying. And she always makes us watch this like CNN 10 or whatever, like fake liberal stuff. I just want to know if, like, how I can, like, help the people that don't really know, like, what's actually going on.
So, what's your name again? What's your name again?
It's Adam.
I'm going to be working for you one day, okay? So, Adam, let me tell you a story. When I was in sixth grade, I went to MacArthur Middle School outside of Chicago. And they used to make me watch this thing called Channel One News. Anyone remember that? It was on this old kind of staticky television. And I remember my teacher's names. I'm not going to say them. But one teacher in particular, science teacher, decided to introduce to the class this new documentary, bold documentary called Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore. And I was in sixth grade, as you are. And she showed it to the class, and everyone was crying and weeping. I was unmoved by it. So I thought to myself, this is highly irrational that the world is going to end as quickly as they say it's going to end. So I remember writing all these questions, very like, well, how much human activity do we actually have to hamper and prevent? All these sorts of things. Teacher didn't like it. But I'll tell you this, that what do you do? You're in sixth grade. I spoke out, and I learned as much as I could. And I'm so glad I did, because sixth grade turned into seventh grade, and the conversation expanded, and eighth grade turned into freshman year eventually senior year. And being in sixth grade, I remember that moment where I said, you know what? I'm going to be disagreeable. I'm going to just be honest. I didn't do very well in that class, I can tell you that much. But what you're dealing with and you're wrestling with is going to turn you into a mature and wise, courageous person. And we want to say something, Adam?
Do you mind taking a picture with me after?
Of course I'll take a picture. But I'll say this, Adam. I'll close with this, and I want you all to look at Adam, which literally means man. If you guys want to know, what are we doing here? What's next? Adam's in sixth grade, which means you're 12, 13, right? 12? It's a fun age. Adam can vote in 6 years. So sixth graders, we don't really take them that seriously. We're like, politically, okay, they're going to grow up. Question is, what kind of country are we going to leave Adam? Right? What are we going to do now? The question we should really be asking is, why is he doing more than I'm doing? He's coming to an event tonight and asking me advice how he can stand up to his teacher to stand for truth. He's in sixth grade asking this question. And so, when I say that people are moving into action, when I say people are getting into the posture to save the country, that's a leading indicator. So I'm saying to everyone out there that I get it. You got good lives. We're going to tie it all together. This is a moment that I want more than anything else, that moment when Winston Churchill went and smiled at his war secretaries. And it's going to happen with courage. It's going to happen with truth. It's going to happen when Adam goes back to his sixth grade teacher tomorrow and says, I heard this guy named Charlie Kirk, and he told me you're wrong and that our rights come from God. That's what you're going to say. And
he watches you all the time.
And it's going to start here tonight. So tonight, you have to make a decision. Tonight, you're going to say, am I going to be a spectator and slap him on the back? Good luck, Adam. Have a nice life. Or I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to get in the arena right now, and I'm going to act boldly and courageous. I'm going to go run for school board. I'm at least going to show up for it. I'm going to go get petitions. I'm going to get involved in the recall. I'm going to start to listen to more of these issues, these ideas. I'm going to go into some Walmart without a mask with 100 of my clothes. Whatever it is, tonight it starts to chart your course of courage and action. And I want to thank you all, because I'm given hope by all of you. It is not over till we say it's over. We are going to win. Thank you, guys. Email us your questions, everybody. freedom@charliekirk.com. charliekirk.com should be your go-to destination for all news and information. Check out Turning Point USA. As always, if you're a high school student, get involved. If you're a college student, get involved. If you're a parent, go to tpusa.com and look at ways that you can get involved. We have our Young Women's Leadership Summit coming up. We want to pack it up. tpusa.com/YWLS. My fiance, soon to be wife, will be speaking there. That'll be great. tpusa.com/YWLS. Yes, only women are allowed. Men, you are not allowed to change your gender to go. Sorry. And so we have our Student Action Summit in July, and that will be something that everyone can come to, tpusa.com. You guys should just check it once or twice a day anyway. We're updating it more and more often. We have some big announcements coming there. Love hearing from you, freedom@charliekirk.com, and God bless all of you that email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Let's have a great week. Make it a good one. Talk to you soon.